With me is Lori Beth Jones, and I am so excited to introduce you to her. She is the author of a book called Jesus is CEO. She sold more than 2 million copies. She's written 15 books that have been translated in 17 languages, and her specialty is human transformation. Ken Blanchard called her one of the great thought leaders of our time, and she works with teams, organizations, individuals, and families to increase performance using something she calls the path elements, and we'll get into that. I'm excited to share it with you. She's also an executive coach to CEOs of billion-dollar companies. Grew up in West Texas with tree houses and horses, and it is my pleasure and privilege to have you with us today. Lori Beth, thanks for being here.
Shane, thank you so much. It's too bad we're not sitting at the Cheesecake Factory with a big piece of fruit in front of us.
That was a delight. That is where we got to meet for the first time, and I was totally enchanted with you. So thanks again for agreeing to do this.
It was mutual. We about shut him down, didn't we?
We did. I think we did. We had so much to talk about. Well, we'll continue the conversation here. First of all, tell me your why. Why do you do what you do in the world? What's your big vision for positive impact?
Well, my personal mission statement is to recognize, promote, and inspire divine connection in myself and others. And I believe that when a person gets clear about who they are and why they came to this planet, I really believe everybody has a purpose, and that once you find that and get in alignment with that, things really start to shift for people. And it's been my experience when that happened for me, and I've since been doing it for more than 30 years, all over the country and in some international countries, and it's just amazing to watch the transformation that occurs when people suddenly, the light bulb comes on, and they say, wow, this is what really excites me about being alive, and wow, this is why I've been wired to do this, and this is why things have happened, or even relationships, business, families, you know, the pluses and the minuses, it just starts to make sense. And I'm also all about fast results. Personally, I'm a wind fire, so I like to get to the point and keep things moving and blazing and illuminating the path for others. So that's kind of a longer answer than maybe you thought, but that's my why.
I love it. It's great. And we'll get into the wind fire here in a little bit, so people know what that's about. Now, in my work in the corporate world as a coach also, I have found that this is probably a controversial statement, that generally actually women are ahead of men developmentally. And the reason I found that is because women have had they've been allowed to be masculine and kind of cultivate their strength and still be rewarded for being feminine, where men have tended to be more, almost punished for being feminine.
Right.
And as a consequence, I found more often, not always, but more often women tend to have a bit more balance. Now, here you are as an executive coach, a woman, and I know a bit of your story, and I want people to hear it because you, of course, came out of a world where gender was a big issue. So just sketch for our listeners a little bit how you came into the world that you came into, because when you told me that story, I was just amazed.
Well, just the essence of it was that I was raised in a Christian home and married my high school sweetheart, and everything was going good, and basically we got caught up in the charismatic movement, and anyway, the whole thing became about submission, and a woman must submit herself to her husband. And when push came to shove, and I said, I'm really called to write. I've known since the age of 10 that books were going to be my children, and he knew that too, but he felt that he had the power now that I was his wife, and so he forbid me from going on the radio and from writing anymore, and it turned into just a horrible, actually physically abusive situation. And I had to leave, and there was no backup for me because as a woman in this culture that we were in, the woman had no voice whatsoever. The man was the ruler of every family, of every household, of every church situation, And so I was not represented, and I remember just feeling like this isn't God to me. No, this is not, you know, God to me is about freedom. Look at creation. Look at the whales playing in the ocean and, you know, the birds flying and tigers leaping. I mean, this is about being unbound, not being so regimented and regulated and shut down. So I had to forge my own path, and it made me quite independent and a little bit nervous in certain groups.
Yeah.
And at one point, I think I shared with you, they surrounded me and began to call all sorts of evil spells out of me. And yeah, it was just horrible. All in the name
of God.
If it
weren't so awful, it would be hilarious. If it happened to you personally, it would be hilarious. But it's not. It's really, really extraordinary what you've come through. And it's just really important to me that people hear that story so they understand what an incredible thing you've had to overcome.
Well, I know it's still going on, you know, in the Me Too movement, and certainly particularly in the church, because it is so patriarchal and the men have all the power in almost every religion. And
most of the business world.
And most of the business world, although I found that the business world was far more accepting of a woman who had an idea. And so I gravitated towards that. Once I was divorced, I had no place in the church anymore. And really didn't want one at that point. But the business world, it's like, oh, man, they were hungry. And, my wings, I just began to soar. And Business Week bestseller list for almost a year and a half. And, you know, it was just incredible what opened up. People flocked. And it was not in a church setting. It was outside the church. It was like, tell us what works. Show us what you have that works. And so I'm a big proponent of business as being an equalizer, and it has the least glass ceiling, I think, of any endeavor, even though still, you know, women don't sit on as many boards, et cetera, et cetera. But still, you've got the Oprah Winfreys, and you've got the Jessica Albas, and, you know, certainly women have been able to find their voice and make millions of dollars and do good things at the same time. So
I appreciate
it's exciting.
That. Yeah. Well, and certainly there are frustrations, but comparatively, given what you've been through, I can see how the corporate world was just a breath of fresh air, certainly
right.
For a woman. Well, thank you for that little detour into gender issues. It's really powerful stuff. I know that's not your primary thing that you're passionate about, though you are. Tell me a bit about Path Elements. How did this come about? What is it, and how do we use it?
Well, you know, I mentioned my mission statement right off the bat, and I have with me a document of a time when myself and another trainer were invited to help young officers at Annapolis find their mission statement. And it was after The Path had come out, and in the book, The Path, Finding Your Mission for Work and Life, I simplify steps for people to get to their mission fast. And so I wanted to share with this. This was from Annapolis, Maryland, in August of 2003. And listen to the mission statements. All of these young men, I think there was only one woman in the group, are military. They're trained in the military, and they're about to become officers. So, for example, one of the mission statements was to inspire, drive, and accomplish justice. William J. Collins, Jr. Another one was to explore, translate, and enlighten inner peace. Another one was to brighten, create, and nurture wholeness. Another one is to inspire, dream, and surrender to wisdom. Another one was to communicate, educate, and foster service. Look at the beauty.
Wow. Yeah, you would not, if you had read those and said, which group wrote those, it would not be military people.
Nope. Here's another one, to bring clarity and focus for abundant living. So why I have saved this is that first officer, William J. Collins, to inspire, drive, and accomplish justice, he wrote me a letter about 5 years ago, and he said, I just needed to reach back to you and tell you what happened. When I was a young officer in training and I wrote my mission statement to accomplish justice, I had no idea why I picked those words. I had a sense, but I didn't know why. And he said later he ended up being in Afghanistan, and he said, I was appointed the head of the tribunal to dispense justice for all of the community. And he said, when that happened, because he kept his mission statement in his wallet, and he said, God must have known that I was, for such a time as this, there I was administering justice. And then, when the time he wrote me the letter, he said, and I'm currently serving as an advisor to the head of the Veterans Affairs Committee to help administer justice and see that the veterans get justice. And so this young man, now up in the Pentagon in Washington, D.C., was able in his 20s to clarify what he came here to do. And so I just have story after story of story of how we just took him through steps. We had 2 hours with him. And the process is solid, and it's been around for a long time, and we've also done this with kids. And one of the things that happens with kids and in the path, you know, we're all living out predictions. Somebody prophesied over us that we were going to be no good or that we were going to be a star or predicted something. And so I saved some negative predictions, and this was a session we did with first offender kids that I got a grant to do this with the Department of Justice in my hometown, El Paso, Texas. So listen to what these students had been told. You're going to end up pregnant. You're not as good as your brother. You're going to end up like your dad. You're a bum and a loser. One kid wrote, I've been told a lot of things, but the one that hurt me the most was, you shouldn't have been born. You're never going to make it in life. They're going to eat you alive. You're a slacker and a druggie. You'll never amount to anything. You're going to get in trouble with your PO and get kicked out of school. So these were the negative predictions that these kids believed subconsciously and were living out. So we took them through this 2-hour process, and the elements are a part of that, and we'll get to that about helping them identify earth, water, wind, and fire. But now listen, these same students, what came out of them as dreams. Someday I will become an X-ray technician and be someone successful. I know I'm going to be a pro skater. I want to graduate and then go into the firefighting profession. I want good grades to be somebody someday and be an engineer. I will be a successful writer and fashion designer. My record will be clean and I will be an artist.
Unbelievable. Beautiful.
In two hours with this process. So we're excited about getting this into the schools, and we're excited about in organizations. I mean, so we've gone from the extreme, right, of the military, young, brightest, and best stars to the throwaway kids who are first offenders, who are one step away from jail. Well, they're actually in jail. And so our passion and our hope is if we can help people get clear about the beauty that they have inside them now, not when they graduate, not when they become skinny or rich or celebrities or anything like that, but right now, what is the power you have right now? Then the path will emerge for them. But we were talking to someone in the education field yesterday, and she said right now the schools are the promise to prison for a lot of young minority kids.
Absolutely.
So it's just like, wow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So what are the elements? Tell us about the elements.
Okay. All right. So fire, and when you think about the elements, let's just think about the elements for a second. Fire is hot, intense. It's the center of attention. It can burn things down. It can destroy things.
Let me just interject for a minute. This is a personality system. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Great. So a way of helping us understand our preferences, our behaviors, our approach to the world, our relationship to thinking and ideas. Is that about right?
Yes. And I've developed it over years out of Jesus CEO and the path and realizing that people have no sense of themselves beyond their roles or identities. And if you can get a...
And of course,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt. So, of course, you've been exposed to no shortage of personality profiles, Myers-Briggs, StrengthsFinder, DISC-INDRA, Berkman, all kinds of different things. What inspired you to say, I've got something else to say? I've got something else that these aren't saying. What was it?
Right. Well, because you can't remember them. You know, I've taken Myers-Briggs and INSJ, LMNOQ, PRS, you know, and all of these are based... The fourfold model goes back to Hippocrates. I mean, it goes way back. And most of them are based on the fourfold model, including ours. But most of them, many of them, were developed by academics. And so there's a lot of wordplay and a lot of, you know, all of that stuff. And what we found, and we challenge people when they go into organizations and they say, oh, we already use DISC, or we already use Berkman, or we all use it. We say, okay, who are you? Well, 9 out of 10 can't remember themselves. You know?
That's right.
And it's like, if you've taken this assessment and you cannot remember, then how are you going to look across the room and know how to deal with Shane or with me or with the person you've got a meeting? And so I thought, there's got to be a simpler way. And so I started playing with the elements and asking people, are you more like fire or earth or water or wind? And the results were astounding. And so now we've really codified it into a proprietary algorithm, and we ask 16 questions. People can take it very quickly. It scores how much of each element you are, because none of us are just one. But it's a profound understanding that's a simple system, and what happens is it creates a common vocabulary. So I'll go quickly through the elements again. The fire is hot, passionate, intense, blazing, beautiful, mesmerizing, clears the path for others. The earth is solid, predictable, terra firma. You can build on it. It knows the seasons. Even though it's summer now, it knows that winter will come. Even though it's fall now, it knows that spring will come. So it's the long range, kind of steady, predictable part of the elements. And then you've got water, which is the most magical, I think, of the elements. It can shapeshift. It's the only element that can be three in three different states, solid, liquid, vapor. It's the life-giving solution. It takes the shape of whatever it's poured into. It's so sensitive that if you touch just the top of the surface, the whole thing vibrates or ripples. And then you've got the wind, which is the messenger element. It's invisible. You can't put it in a box. You can't predict it, even with all our weather patterns. We still can't. It's so funny to watch. You know, they can't even know where the wind is, when it's going to land, how fast it's going to be. We have a sense, but we still can't predict it. And it brings the scent of danger. It brings the scent of spring. And so when you look at these, earth, water, wind, and fire, and I've simplified this for business systems too, and we're really getting this into the business world in a big way, but fire excites or burns people out. Earth grounds or buries good ideas. Water transforms or becomes stagnant. And wind releases or stirs up trouble. So when you have the elements in a meeting, a fire leader is going to say, we're going straight to the top because fire always, heat always rises. And then the earth says, okay, if that's where we're going, they start building a brick at a time, brick, brick, brick. And the fire looks down and says, where is everybody? And the earth is saying, we're doing our job. And you're saying, but you haven't even gone vertical. You're still going horizontal. And then the water gets the idea and says, okay, we're going to end up there. Then I really need to get to work. And the water disappears, either into the clouds or underground. And then the wind comes along and says, oh, you want me to end up there? Well, that's fine. I can do all sorts of things between now and then, and start zigzagging, circling, And it's just really fun to say this in a meeting, and people start nodding their heads and saying, oh, yeah. Because so often...
It seems to give a common shared language.
Right. So often the CEOs are the fires, and they want everything to happen now. There's pacing. The winds and fires move really fast. The earths and waters do their work underground and deliberately. Big difference in how they view the world. And the earths and fires tend to be results-oriented, and the winds and waters tend to be relationship-oriented. Mm. So again, it's those four orientations. And once you get this as a filter, you begin to see, oh, that's a wind moment, that, you know, or this is a fire moment. And what we're finding in conflict resolution and in teams, that once the elements get the value of the other elements on their team, even though they move at a different pace, or they might value relationships over results or vice versa, they begin to recognize, without them, I am nothing.
Mm.
Which is a hard thing for the fires to grasp, right? But vulnerable.
Let's live workshop this for just a moment. I took the elements and I got a 71 on fire, a 77 on wind, 33 water, 19 earth. So really, wind and fire came to the fore in a pretty big way.
Right.
Having spent some time with me, you pretty much predicted that, didn't you? Before I even took it.
Yes. Well, it was just, you know, your high energy, your excitement, your anybody who spent time with you, Shane, it's just marvels at your mind. I mean, you're operating at a 30 to 100,000 foot level in your thinking. And so it was just, obviously, you and I got along great because, you know, I'm a wind fire too.
Yeah.
Very similar scores.
So what do I need to be on the lookout for? You just said some big fires and everything, but let's get down to brass. What's the problem with me being a fire and a wind? When do I get myself in trouble?
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things we've developed is the elemental persuasion system, or elemental selling, and I talk about how the wind fires, how not to be oversold. So, as a wind fire, you're very competitive, right? You like to win. And you like to win fast, and you like to win big. So where you would be vulnerable is if someone...
In a loving Christian way, I like to do that.
And always, always. Christ-centered, of course. So you and I are going to be vulnerable to challenges, dares, bets, you know, and then falling into the arrogance of we can do it faster, we know more. What's slowing you down?
How about
why is this
talking too much? Do I talk too much as a wind?
Well, certainly not in this interview. I think I've got you beat on this.
Well, that's
very gracious. Yeah,
it's supposed to be
gracious
that way.
To this one. Well, the thing about the wind fires is that we have a message, right? We are so clear that we've got a message to get out, and we've got to burn, baby, burn. And the other thing that's fun about the wind is we're the only element that doesn't know we exist unless we see something in motion. We need to see the palm trees. I'm looking at palm trees right now. The palm trees, you know, the palm fronds waving. I need to see the grass waving. I need to see something in motion. So when nothing is in motion, the wind gets very uncomfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll create something. It can... The winds and fires, we thrive in drama and chaos.
Yeah.
That's our comfort zone.
Yeah. Otherwise, we oddly enough, we feel anxious and restless and concerned.
Yes.
Something is serious.
Exactly.
Going on.
Something is.
So in
things
theory,
are too quiet.
In theory, yeah. In theory, if I have earth at 19 and water at 33, do you treat that as kind of a maybe the shadow side of me? Maybe that's the part of me that I need to develop more resourcing around, or is it not really treated that way? Is it a system that seeks to create more and more balance and to expand all the elements equally within yourself, or what's the sort of the end game or the goal?
Well, I think the end game is team up with somebody. First of all, to be aware that this is going to be a challenge area for you, the earth, you know. The earth details. So whenever you can, partner with somebody who's really strong in that. And then you can also have moments, and I think we talked about that at the Cheesecake Factory. You can say, all right, I need an earth moment here.
Mm.
You know, I'm going to, because you have it. You can call it up. It's just not your comfort zone. So, you know, I coach people, you want to be 85% of your time in your comfort zone, not your comfort zone, but your elemental in your element, right? Mm-hmm. You want to literally be in your element at least 85% of the time, knowing that there still needs to be time dedicated to taxes, boring, you know, insurance, boring, all the stuff that's on
boring
the
to you and
boring.
I. Boring to you and
exactly.
I. You're
exactly.
giving away your type.
That's right, right. And then we judge things. So one of the things we're looking at with companies in the HR, we've got this whole system for HR, is performance appraisals, right? So let's say you have a boss who is a fire and the worker is a water going into an appraisal, a performance appraisal. Well, already there's a disadvantage, right? The fire is saying you're wishy-washy, you don't take sides, you don't move fast enough, and the water is thinking you are so arrogant, you have no idea the relationships, what's going on in this company that you don't even know about. But I do, mm-hmm. because the water is mm-hmm. also the keeper of the secrets. Still water runs deep, you know. So what we want to do is level the playing field a little bit so that at least you know who's appraising you and what their strengths are, and for them to understand that, wow, this water has connections, relationships I have no idea that they could tap into to bring about the vision that I feel so strongly about. You know, and I tell people that water, even when it freezes, becomes a snowflake. And that is an incredible design. So beauty is at the core of every drop of water.
Well, you have an interesting, it's not just metaphoric now either. There is a technology company that's come out that has basically figured out how to use water to store information.
Oh my goodness.
The very cutting edge of tech storage, data storage is water.
See, you're always on the edge of it. I learn something from you every time we're together. That's so cool. That's cool.
Well, I'm just trying to be windy and a bit of a know-it-all, so hopefully that was useful. So if it's okay, this is great stuff. I mean, it's so interesting. And as a person who has worked extensively with many, many of these kinds of systems, and I'm a big believer in the shorthand of self-awareness, that's ultimately, in I don't know if you'd agree with this, but my experience has been that the single most differentiating factor in what makes a phenomenal leader and an average leader is self-awareness. And self-awareness is this enormously amorphous, very difficult, challenging thing to get things you don't know that you've hidden about yourself into conscious awareness. And so these tools are just masterful at it, but you're absolutely right. They're convoluted, they're complex, they're multi-layered and quite dense. And in the business world in particular, in any organization these days, the time required to get mastery in that is so long that it's just it loses quickly. And so what I love about this is the speed, the immediacy with which I can gather it, but it is chock full of wisdom. And there are other tools that have speed and immediacy, like StrengthsFinder, and it's fine and valid. I'm not saying it's not. It's just it doesn't have the dynamism, the depth, and the wisdom that I experience in the Path Elements. So
thank you for that.
Great stuff. So when you're looking at, I'd like to step out and feel free to use, you know, the elements as much as you need to or want to. Now that we as a group, as a community, we now have this shared language with you. But as we step back out, you're a person who's been leading and helping others lead for decades now, and you've been this incredible thought leader. You're obviously an observer of major changes in the world. The theme of this telesummit is really leadership next, and what we're after is we're trying to help leaders understand and anticipate really two fundamental things. In an age of massive disruption and fragmentation, so everything from geopolitical fragmentation to technological disruption, the massive loss of jobs, the reinvention of the workforce in the world with 4 billion new people coming online in the next 2 to 3 years, potentially 11 million jobs lost in about that same amount of time, this is an immensely disruptive time. And so we're really helping people explore what is changing in leadership, what capacities are changing, and what isn't. So as you observe what's going on in the world, what new capacities do you think are necessary to respond as a leader to the world and what's happening?
Well, certainly, and the political leaders, the ones who tend to run for office, tend to be winds and fires, right? because they like the attention, they like campaigning, it's natural for them, they always think they have the answers. The challenge is in governance, which is very much a water, earth, slog, right? So helping people understand that there's a different pace to things. And because of the mass media and how things can go viral, one of the mysteries in Scripture that has really fascinated me for a long time is the image of Ezekiel's wheel within a wheel. And he talks about this energy force that has a wheel within a wheel, and it has eyes on every part of the rims of the wheels, and it's able to move in every direction all at once. And it also has four creatures within it, the ox, the eagle, the man, and the lion, which I equate to the ox is earth for strength, the lion is fire for courage, the eagle is the wind, and the man is the heart or water, which is the emotional element, the most emotional. So when you look at that, we have the capacity now for something to move in every direction all at once, which is knowledge or information. Right? The challenge is defining what success really looks like so that we can apply wisdom to these tools. I remember asking someone, a group of young women, I said, so how would so-and-so rate you on a scale of 1 to 10? And they all said, oh, I'm only a 3. Oh, I'm only da-da-da-da-da. And then I said, why would you even answer that question? Who made that question even relevant to you? Right? Discernment to teach that, Jesus didn't even answer half of the questions that people asked him. this is not even relevant. Mm-hmm. So that we don't get into that cycle of having to knee-jerk response. And I think that was the approach that he had, which is so profound for our times, is that there is more to life than just quote unquote winning. There's more to life than what we see. If someone wants your coat, give them your scarf too. What is that about? That's losing, right? That's like losing. But he talks about a different way of being that is not of this world. And so I think there's the need for a spiritual intelligent, and I think I may have coined the term, I don't know, but spiritual intelligence. What is that? Not religion, not the old ways of doing things, even though many of the old ways of doing things are truth, but what is the new modernistic approach to what we know now, how we are now? And the human heart has not changed in 5,000 years. It just hasn't. So technology is outpacing wisdom. And how are we going to respond to that? And I think we really need to consider spiritual intelligence, not just artificial intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. Let me take in our remaining few minutes. I'm going to do some rapid-fire questions. These are going to get really practical and tactical. So you've got tons of wisdom at that high level. I know you have wisdom in other places too. What's your sense for the best way to get a bunch of diverse, high-powered people moving in the same direction at the same time? How do you get people lifting at the same time?
First of all, realizing that none of them have the only answer. And Harvard Business Review just came out with a thing that instead of brainstorming for answers, brainstorm questions. What's a better question we can ask here? What's a better question we can answer, ask here? And that gets people out of their boxes. And then, of course, I believe in getting clear about what the true goal is. What did we start out to do? And that becomes very confusing. In fact, I wrote just in anticipation of our call today, if you know your why are you doing this? You will find the how. If you don't know your why, you'll always be distracted and confused by all the other who's and what's.
And that's where it comes back to your path process.
Right.
So it sounds like one of the ways to get everybody moving in the same direction is to actually get really clear on that why. That's really interesting. Instead of a technique, yeah. You're actually going back to kind of connecting the human heart to purpose and meaning.
Right.
How do you lower the risk of a bad hire?
We're part owners of a company called Elemental Staffing, and they are really going gangbusters with using the elements for understanding what the position is and what the match is, not just in a resume, but what kind of energy is needed in this position. And how is that energy, what's the overall culture or energetic requirement of the team? So it's really about understanding energy needs at that level, at an elemental level. So we're having a lot of fun with that.
Love it. What advice do you have? What's a best practice in transitioning or terminating team members out of an organization or a team?
Okay, so this, and I've thought about this a lot because I've lived through two recessions where it was very painful, people losing jobs. So what you need to think about is, okay, so a fire losing a job, so we have these teams that come in, right, and they give everybody a packet. And they say, okay, do this, do this. A fire losing a job is not the same as an earth losing a job, a water losing a job, or a wind losing a job, right? Because when a fire loses a job, they lose status. That's the biggest thing for them. When an earth loses a job, they lose security. Mm. When a water loses a job, they lose relationships. Mm. And when a wind loses a job, they lose a platform and an audience. So in approaching job losses, if you know going in that the person losing that job is a fire, what you need to do is present them with options for where else they can gain status or how you're going to help them gain status. You know, you say, you need a bigger fuel source than what we can provide. Right? So that's a gentle way of saying you don't fit here.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, and with the earth, with the security, and a lot of the relocation thing, they try to give security by saying here's 90-day severance and all of that. But it's more than that. They need the structure, and here's a structured approach to how to do things. And the water, just realizing they just lost their relationships. They're not going to see their friends every day anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what hurts them. And the wind, I think, would be easiest to convince that they can, as long as they know that there's freedom for them elsewhere, that there will be other people who will laugh at their jokes, there are other people who want to hear their stories, and also their wisdom. You know, the answer, my friend, is where? It's blowing in the wind.
Mm-hmm. That's great. This has been so helpful. Well, there's so much more we could talk about, but I want to make sure that people who want to get access to who you are, what you do, what you know, I think you have a resource for people. Tell us about
that. We do. It's very simple. Go to pathelements.com, and we have an opt-in, and we have several opt-ins that people can go for, but the one that they might be interested in is 30 days of elemental discovery, and we talk about going deeper at the elements in nature, what are the anger styles of the elements, how does this apply to your family, and it's 30 days of daily inspiration, and that's free, so people are loving
Wonderful.
It.
Well, this has been such a pleasure talking with you again. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and taking your precious time to be with us. I know that our listeners got a lot out of it, and I highly recommend people check out the Path Elements and get access to what she's got.
Shane, thank you so much. You're truly a delight to be around. I hope to see you again very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.